Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones.
Welcome, dear one, to the Emily Alexina podcast. I'm Emily, and I'm interested in finding and nourishing our highest human potential. I believe humans have much more beauty and goodness to share with each other and with nature, much more than we have expressed in recent centuries, although we have seen glimpses of it. I'm excited about our future. On this podcast, you will hear mine and other stories on themes like motherhood, birth, holistic healing, spiritual healing, education, and farming. Support my work by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Also consider making a financial donation via the link in the show notes. I'm currently saving for new microphones. Music is by Kate Sutherland.
Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.
Okay, we're live. The plan was to talk about birth.
The plan is to talk about birth.
Okay. Are you correcting my English?
I'm correcting your English, yes. But I really don't know how much you're going to get out of me because I never gave birth. My job is so easy in this situation.
But we're talking about you helping or supporting or being my partner through three births. And like you said in our last training, you're an experienced doula, actually. Are you available for hire?
Seems so, eh?
I actually thought there could be a market for...
Mandula?
Mandula, like you doula the partner.
A mandula.
Like we could actually doula as a couple.
I'm pretty burst out lately. Pretty burst out.
Yeah, I asked you if you wanted to do this earlier and you were like, oh, we have to talk about birth.
Again?
I do talk about birth a lot, though I have been talking about it less. But I think that this is a useful episode for people. And my intention is that women can listen to this with their partners. And it can help.
Couples. But there's so many times you try to record this with me. And I still, right now, a minute and 38 seconds ago, told you that I don't have that much of a big impact here, man.
Okay, it's incredible that you say that because I would say that you have been an amazing support in my births. But perhaps part of that is just like innately how you are, that you're kind of calm and chill in most circumstances. Like I know women who have partners who are a bit more high strung, a bit more like me. Like they are like the you in relationships where they're calm. The women are more calm and like grounded and the men are a bit more high strung and like Mercurian. And so I guess maybe that. You just can't change a man. You just have a mandula or you don't have a mandula. I don't know. What do you think?
You want to fight here?
And what do you think? No, I'm curious.
I always told you that you did a lot of research that even like most women don't do.
Yeah.
So that made you comfortable in your choices. And made me comfortable that you knowing what you wanted from different stages of like Leia was, you had a set of knowledge, then your knowledge improved. You gained a lot more experience in terms of what it is to have a child in the first place. And you also did way more reading and listening to other people's birth. So like every child
birth.
Of yours,
birth.
Yeah, you attended births.
Yeah.
Which you haven't done before Leia. I don't remember.
No. I had not attended a birth before our first daughter was born.
Yeah, you kind of started doing that right after, I think.
Yeah.
But let's preface this by saying that you were my only support person in the building when our third baby was born.
Yeah, but also,
which is like people a pretty big step.
Who don't know is that when Leah, our eldest, was born, it was at a midwife center.
Yeah, birthing center,
and with two midwives and like all sorts of equipment.
Yes,
yeah. Felt homey and very close to home, where we were living, 5 minutes away, literally.
But that's still a pretty big jump. We're gonna go back and start with Leah's birth, but. I remember after our second daughter was born in 2018 that I asked you, I think I want a free birth. What if I wanted to free birth next time? And you said, you said it goes so well with the midwives. Why would we not have them from your perspective? Do you remember saying that?
I don't remember saying that.
You were kind of like, that seems unnecessary. Like, why would we need to do that? That was what you said at the time.
After Leah?
After our second. After Radha.
Oh, after Radha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it wasn't that, like, intrusive. And I think your experience too, because you did hospital attendances, that the hospital environment is very, like, intrusive. So you experienced, you saw that kind of side. I haven't. All my experiences, midwife center, than at home with midwives that weren't pushy or like making too many decisions. And then at home. So like,
what was your favorite birth?
The last one for sure.
The last one alone?
Yeah. But I felt like you were so ready and I felt comfortable knowing what to do.
We still have moments where we look at each other and think, did we actually do that?
Like, it feels insane. Like
that was it's the most craziest thing. That was the craziest thing.
Most memorable too, because I think when there's just you and I, my memory is heightened in those states because you're just focused. There's no one else to like rely on, just me and you, and at some point just me.
Yeah,
because you're like in this trance state. So I remember that not just because it was the latest one. But just because
you had there was to be kind no of one else,
I had to be hyper focused in a lot of ways. Where like the first one, you gotta give the responsibility away a little bit to the midwives who are like coming in and checking on you and like talking to you, like, do you need to pee? Do you need this? Let's like when they attached an IV on you, like they're taking away so much from me that I don't have to be that kind of focused. But I wasn't in any point, like the first, second and third, I wasn't like more or less stressed.
Yeah, and that's I think kind of innately in your nature.
But also because the first one we did have a lot of help in that sense, the midwife help. The second one we were at home, and they were like in and out of the room. So I think it was a gradual thing.
If it was the first
birth and it was just us, there were so many things that I didn't know. Like even the simple thing is like, you might have talked to me about it, like the cutting the umbilical cord, but I don't remember right now knowing, like if it was an emergency birth, I don't think I would have known what to do with Leah or else the first.
If there was like something special that had happened. Yeah,
and then.
So before
and the third one, I already knew, like, okay, this is going to be the procedure. He comes out or she comes out, and then there's going to be, like, we wrap them. Like, we're going to cut the umbilical cord. Like, we kind of
took a while. We took, like, an hour and a half, I think, to cut the cord.
Yeah, way longer than, I think, Leah and Rana.
For sure.
I think we waited for it to kind of be coldish. Didn't we?
And we just waited to settle. He was also very upset. He kind of came out like very angry.
Kind of like stuffy, like nose or something. Yeah, a little bit uncomfortable.
And I actually think that in a hospital setting, they might have wanted to do more interventions with him being like that.
Yeah, probably.
But I think we both yeah, we both felt like
he was okay. His eyes were open.
He was breathing. The way he was moving.
The way,
his tone. But that was kind of something that maybe took me a little bit off guard, was how you really have to be checking over the baby. Like, you don't know what the baby's coming out with. What kind of... But it's also intuitive. It's like very instinctual. Would you agree?
In my case, yes, but I can see how like a lot of men and maybe women too like would like freak out in certain situations.
Mm.
In this case, I didn't feel like at all that we should be like freaking out.
And so we did a course before the free birth, with an ex-Ontario midwife who taught us some like basic first aid around birth and different emergency situations. Did you find that helpful?
It was definitely helpful. I think it's good to go through that. But if you ask me now, certain things...
Yeah, like now that, I don't remember either. That's why you have to have a refresher.
The only thing that I remember right now, which was two things are funny, like that to ask you if you need to pee.
During constantly, birth. Yeah.
Before, like, every time.
That's good that you remember right now. I don't think you asked me once in labor. Oh, maybe you did.
And like, do you want a date? Because dates are full of sugar, and it's just like you bite into it, and it gives you energy. Because if you are hungry, you can have that, like, boost. But also, I think what's important is her exercise of showing how much blood...
Yeah.
Is, like, a lot of blood. Because it might seem like a lot of blood on a sheet, like whatever.
On a pad, yeah.
On a pad. But just because it's like spreads in the fabric, it looks like a big circle, but it might not be that much blood. So you don't have to like freak out.
Right.
So like that exercise was very helpful. So
that made you more comfortable that if you were to see...
If I were to see a lot of blood. And also, like, remembering if a woman wants to give birth in a bath, like, that blood is going to spread in the water. And it would look like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of blood. But technically, it's not that much blood. Don't worry about it. But so, you need to know, like, just seeing that visually, I think, is a good, helpful thing for, like, not to freak out in an emergency.
Was that something that you were thinking about? Was, like, blood loss? Was that... Did you have any fears or kind of what were your main fears, things that you were keeping in mind?
When she was going over that, that's something I remembered in the course. It's like, oh, this is actually helpful.
Right.
Like if I see this much blood.
To not.
I'll know like that's not a lot of blood, or this is a lot of blood. So like I thought that exercise was interesting.
And kind of we had sort of the idea of doing a free birth from the beginning.
With
my third pregnancy.
Yeah.
Did you ever have moments of fear, or was it more that you kind of felt my energy?
I did not have any moments of fear because we didn't. I feel like you were really set on doing that way. And I'm not giving birth. So my job and where my mind goes in that kind of scenarios is the woman makes that choice of how she wants to give birth, and me staying calm will help her have a good birth. So if I start panicking, she's not going to be comfortable. You're not going to be comfortable.
Yeah. But again, back to my point, I don't think I've ever seen you panic in my life.
Yeah. That's
since the thing.
Like,
how do,
like, that's why.
that's your innate. That's what I mean. That's
why I also said, like, it's like you said, like, oh, if you talk about this, it's going to be helpful to other men. And I can't see that because... Like, I can't just transfer my innate calmness to, like, other men just by talking about it. It's either going to be... Well, everyone has their own way of staying calm. Like, you research
You do stuff. Have a meditation course that you're selling.
How you are calm is when you, like, read things.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I research. So, yeah, it's true. So researching makes me calm.
Yeah, if any way that, if anything I say in this podcast about birth and like staying calm and like how I went through it and how I see it, if anything is that you have to find your way of staying calm in any situation.
Right.
Because that, maybe that's the biggest kind of takeaway that I can provide here is that you have to find a way to remain calm, whether it's knowledge, whether it's talking to someone, whether it's communicating with your partner and saying, like, how do you want me to be?
Yeah, like, right. Having good communication.
Staying calm has to be like part of the setting, the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's birth. Like if someone feels like a level of stress, especially the woman, like she'll feel that from others, and then it just doesn't help. And our vagina needs to be like relaxed.
Relaxed, man.
And if someone is walking, they're stressed and they're constantly asking, like it's like a nervous ball.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel good. Everyone has to like pee, release their bowels.
Exactly. Well, that was something I told you, because there was a story in one of Ina May Gaskin's books where there was a woman who her labor was just not progressing really. And then she asked in the space, does anyone need to go to the washroom? And one person said, I've been holding it in for hours. And she said, go to the washroom. And then the woman was able to relax because, yeah, there just was that energy in the room. So I think that you're also kind of energetically sensitive and intuitive in that way. It's one of the things I love about you. And so for any man who wants to be like the main support person in a birth setting, could be also like good work could be to work on their intuition and maybe energetic feeling and sensing a space in a room.
You have to talk to your partner. Maybe you don't have to be there. I can totally see like some couples saying like, oh, I don't want you to be here. I'd rather have my sister here. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd rather have my mom, or I'd rather have my doula and just me, or I'd rather have my midwives and just me. Like,
yeah. Well, I've worked with different couples where, you know, women have said like, I know my partner is not like, he's great in other ways, but he's not going to be the best person to support me in my birth. And so they hire a doula or a birth keeper or...
That's the part of the communication and understanding the setting.
And that's why I keep harping on not elevating one type of birth as being better than the other. We chose to free birth for certain reasons and depending on the circumstances and resources that we had. And everyone has to do the same thing.
I kind of think that like in some kind of a ideal situation, I'd rather not be there.
Yeah, I think you've said that many times before. Yeah,
but at the same time, I don't see myself not being there.
Yeah, you actually love watching your children be born.
Yeah, I don't see I don't even see myself being away from you when you are in like pain or any sort of thing like that. So like I'm saying, in an ideal situation where like I would know 100% she's fine with like whoever she's with, whoever is helping you give birth.
Mm.
In an ideal situation, if I know 100% that you're going to be okay there.
That's someone that you trust.
Yeah. But I still don't see myself being... Because I know that anything can happen. And I'd rather be like instantaneously helpful rather than like being away somewhere.
And now we were kind of lucky that the girls were sleeping. But
I was sleeping. I woke up at like, 5:30 or something?
It's true. Yeah, because my labor started around 1 a.m. And then I went to a separate room and kind of labored there for 4 hours. And then came to get you. True. So you had a full night's sleep. Because that's another thing.
That's why I remember the birth is like the quickest birth. But right. I woke up and then like 2 hours later, I catch it.
It's true. Yeah.
It was excellent.
Well, it's one thing I say about home birth in general, whether it's with midwives or whomever, is that it's just a lot more comfortable being at home and not having to leave or go anywhere. Like I've seen partners try to be, you know, sleep comfortably in a hospital setting. It's so much more comfortable to be at home. And we were lucky to not have a messy situation at all for you to clean up.
No,
it was like one towel. I actually think I should have maybe bled more right after the birth, because then I ended up having like longer term bleeding for weeks, like 2 months after the birth. But but one thing I think about is, what would you have done if our other kids would have been up Would do you think you would have been able to focus as much and be as present?
It would have been harder.
Were you concerned about that, like, leading up to the birth at all?
I don't remember. I knew I would have just told them to, like, wait it out a little bit, like, maybe put a movie for them or something.
Yeah, they were also, and
they're old enough, and they're pretty good at, like, listening when there's, like, a situation happening. They're pretty good at, like, staying put.
Yeah, they were, what, 7 and 4, I think, at the time? So it's not like a small toddler, 2-3-year-old.
That you, like, really have to take, like, watch them. So it's a good age gap.
One thing I think, reflecting on the birth, is that you guys left and went to go buy a scale and buy some ice cream and cake to celebrate baby's birthday. I think it would be important to not leave a woman just after birth alone. So I have a friend who got up to go to the washroom about 2 hours after her birth, got up to pee, and she fainted and lost some blood. She did have a piece of retained placenta, but there was a pretty bloody situation and she fainted, and she ended up staying home, not having to transfer for blood transfusion. But they called the midwives came and gave her an injection of Pitocin to contract the uterus, stop the bleeding, and it helped.
If your husband does have to leave, or whoever's taking care of you after birth, just pee in bed, man. Don't get up. Don't take that risk.
Well, I'm just saying. Just I think that was...
Feel mimes and warm.
Upon reflection of one thing that we've learned. And, you know, that might sound like a scary story, but this woman also didn't have any alternative preparations in case of bleeding or something like that. I feel like we had a few different tinctures and homeopathics and also other skills from our first aid course to kind of know how to navigate that. But she also said that she was feeling woozy and off and she didn't tell anyone.
Yeah, communicate. Have a date.
And I feel like
dates need to be around.
You're really good at being in tune. Like, I'm just wonder, like, would you have seen if I started to shift in a weird way?
Would I have went to get some ice cream?
Even if you were home and, like, because I think what happened with her was that there was internal bleeding, and when she stood up, it all came out. Because you can be, like, lying down and it not really come out until you stood up.
You looked very great, and, like, your eyes were bright.
Yeah.
You didn't feel, to me at least, you didn't feel like you would faint or anything.
And that's one thing that they talked about, that she talked about in the course, was just paying attention to the woman. Some women can handle more blood loss than others, and it's more about, like, the vital signs.
Yeah, that's another thing when we were doing that exercise of loss of blood, how it looks in water and how it looks on sheets. It's like, she also mentioned that women would feel differently.
Yeah.
All women would feel differently with the various amounts of blood loss. But the lady at the ice cream store, it was pretty funny because we all went there and we were, like, buying ice cream, and she's asking, like, oh, did Emily give birth? Where is she? And I'm like, yeah, she gave birth. And she's like, well, when? Congratulations. Like, an hour ago? Like, what are you guys doing here? At home, yeah, by herself. It was just us. It was
by herself.
It was great. It was amazing.
Like, Vitaly's on cloud nine, like, flying around our town, and I'm alone with the new baby an hour after giving. Not recommended, but a good story. And yeah, it was fine. So one thing I wanted to ask, like, before we had our first child, you had never been around babies.
I've never touched a baby.
You had never touched
a baby. I've never held a baby. But it always felt like supernatural, and I think it helps. I don't know what helps. I don't know, having animals maybe around, like having something small and gentle that can fragile. I think, like, I had a hamster, cats. I think this really helps.
This is the first time I ever hear this.
I thought about it, like, why, like, maybe it's from a past life.
Being a woman. No, I don't think
I've ever been a woman in past life. But definitely having a hamster, like, get a hamster. They only live 2 years.
It's a good practice.
Yeah, for... before you conceive,
well, get a hamster. People get dogs, but I feel like dogs are a little bit different than babies.
They are. Get something, like, fragile, these to take care of. These will help you hold the baby.
Oh my god.
Come on, we have 6 minutes left.
The funny thing was with our first is that I took a hypnobirthing class separately and you took birth and baby training with the midwives in Montreal by yourself. Do you remember that?
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm surprised that I did that.
Yeah, you were like super motivated. I was really proud. Like, thinking back at you now, I'm proud of you that you did that.
I actually went to those things?
Because now I feel like you would be like, nah.
Well... yeah, I guess that was good. It was probably informative.
And I was talking your ear off remember at all. About birth. And yeah, I feel like you just showed up and like, so that birth was uber long, right? A first birth can be pretty intense. It was like over 20,
vagina's
25
tight,
hours.
Man, never gave birth.
And... yeah. Do you remember that? I was vomiting. Like, it was hard.
It was the roughest, man. The vomiting. I think you even pooped.
Yeah.
Did you poop?
Probably. It was a long time.
Yeah. I remember it was, like, super tiring for you.
And the midwives even were wondering about transferring to the hospital or not. Or, you know, what was going.
Yeah. Do you remember it as being the hardest?
It's definitely the hardest, but in some ways the most exhilarating.
But
like, I felt the best.
Do you, with the second, when Monrada was about to be birthed, do you remember that first experience as helpful? Like, you kind of knew what to expect?
Definitely.
So it's easier with the second?
Yeah. In my case, it was. I think every woman experiences that differently, but for me, for sure.
You kind of knew, like, all the pains and all the things that you were going to go through. So you kind of more...
I think our first baby was misaligned, and they also broke my waters. So they put that hook inside of me. And they also were doing vaginal checks, and I refused all of that with Radha. And our midwives, even with our second, said... if we had just broken your waters, it would have gone faster. And I was thinking to myself, but it went perfectly. You know, why try to rush it an hour or two faster? It's going to be more painful, more intense, interfered with, than just let it, than letting it flow as it naturally wants to flow. So breaking
my... What if you break your water when the baby is not ready to come out?
Yeah, it's, there's less of a cushion.
And when it's naturally happening, it almost like that breaking and the baby being ready kind of helps it to come out or something. I don't know.
Well, it cushions, right? It's like a water balloon internally that cushions the labor. Some women's waters break on their own early labor, but with my second and third births, they broke as the baby was emerging.
I don't know anything, man. And we did it. It's crazy now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know, everyone has to feel where they are and maybe, like, listen to your intuition.
I think that's the biggest thing because...
maybe you do need to go to a hospital and give birth there if, like, everyone is freaking out. Maybe that's the best option. Maybe that's where you'll be calm.
Yeah.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, a pro free birth, go to the forest and do it there by yourself. I'm just really, like, whatever feels more comfortable to you. I think it's great that how you wanted to do it, because that kind of aligns with my vision and view of how birth should happen. Mm-hmm. It should take time. It should be at home when you're comfortable. That seems what calm and comfort to me. Hospital does not feel calm and comforting to me.
Yeah.
So we are aligned in what we think comfort and calm is. Some parents to be feel comforted in a hospital.
So that, but then maybe, there's the argument that it's like subconsciously everyone is more comfortable at home.
Yeah.
There's an argument to that. But then I would counter argument that, and I know that I've heard some stories even where husbands have like traumas, even they've, you know, witnessed their partner having a difficult birth in hospital, and so then they're like, that can shift them to either really want to be at home or scare them into what the emergencies can be like and to do them in the hospital. Or yeah, there's just, everyone has their own baggage, their own stuff. And so I think like open communication and being clear about what you want, and that, you know, decisions can change at any point. It's kind of like sex in a way, like consent.
At least one person needs to do the research.
Yeah.
Needs to do a lot of reading. And hopefully that research and reading is done like before you even conceive.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of prep and like maybe changing your diet. Like when this is like, could be like your own personal podcast that you record by yourself. Like how to prep like way before even conceiving.
Yeah, for sure.
Like cleaning your body and like understanding certain things that having a baby will change.
Well, I tell women that our brains kind of melt in pregnancy, so it's great. It's great to try to use that like mental clarity before you actually get pregnant. One thing I wanted to say was in our second birth, you tilted my hips a little bit. I was like, so one thing I want to say, two things about that birth. That birth was actually like the least painful, and I feel like the most smooth, even though from your perspective, the third birth was that. There was a point where I kind of stopped moaning and I had felt no pain. Internally, I decided, what if I just relax completely and not fight this at all? And I had like painless labor for maybe an hour before transition and the baby actually descending. And you remember you asking, like, are you still feeling something? You were like, did the labor stop? And then I was making small noises on purpose just so you knew when I was having a contraction. And then the other thing that happened in that birth was that you saw as the baby was emerging. So she was, quote unquote, the wrong way, facing upwards. They call it, I think, occiput posterior. And so what's interesting is that with my brother in hospital, and I think they still do this in some hospitals today, they'll push the baby back in, try to turn them around so that they come out, quote unquote, facing the wrong way, the right way. Anyway, as she was coming out, it was a bit longer with the pushing, and you like just saw, I guess, how my labia was covering or something. Yeah.
I saw like the head coming out, and it felt like I don't remember how I pushed, but like I just saw that if I push your hips or that it would just like stretch it a little bit.
What I remember is you like tilted my hips back just a little bit.
It just felt like it could give more room for the head to come up.
It was like a mechanical observation and a mechanical fix in the most intuitive way. And I remember she just like came flowing out after that.
Maybe it wasn't me, but it just felt like if I gently put my hand there and you were okay with it, if I pushed a little bit, and you felt like, okay, then maybe it would help.
It did. Like, I remember that. I, like, remember that feeling in my body and that release. It's like a clear, clear, clear deep memory for me. And I thought that was cool. That, and I think that's what it takes, you know, is just really observing and watching. And in that case, you were really observing what was happening down there to my vagina stretching. Is that weird for you to like see my vagina stretch and a baby come out of it?
Not at all. At that state, I feel like, and you see those videos of men like fainting and stuff. To me, it's like, this is happening. This is how it happens. There's no other way for how this can happen. So I don't freak out at all. It's like, I know that head, the whole baby, as miraculous, as crazy as the whole thing is,
is like, going to make it out.
It just needs to come out that way. It's not going to come out from any other hole in your body. And also, like, the way the vagina stretches, maybe that's how your vagina stretches. It doesn't, like, look gross or anything to me. It's just like, I don't know. It feels kind of very natural.
Yeah.
If I just stare at it too much and like, I don't tend to think about it. I look back and forth between like your body, your vagina and your head, and like your eyes, like how you're breathing, how you're moving. Instead of like, if I just stood there and looked at the vagina and like thought about like, holy crap, in that moment, like, that's a fucking vagina stretching. We have sex. I am like, then you have sex like that. Like, that's the hole that I put my penis in.
Yeah.
And like, if I start that? Like think about that at that moment, that's when I'm like, maybe that's when you faint. So maybe that if guys do that, maybe that's when they faint.
I actually totally got in that position when I was watching my first ever birth in the hospital with a woman. I was like literally just staring there being like, holy moly. And the doctor, I think, noticed my energy and like put a little, like put the drape or something to hide.
Yeah, but don't do that.
I just want to stare and watch like what is happening. Yeah. I want to say that I appreciated that. And the other thing I appreciated in the last birth, the free birth, was that how quiet you were, that you didn't really talk too much. It's like very intuitive. I guess it's kind of like sex in a way. Like you don't want to be talking too much and ruin the moment. It's like, I think you said one thing. You just said like, oh, wow, you're doing a great job. That was the one thing that you said.
Well, I was saying that towards the end when, like, I knew that, like, this is going to happen any moment right now. And I saw the head coming out. And you're standing. So, like, I wanted to give you a bit of a boost because you're standing. You're not, like, lying comfortably. Yeah. And, like, so, like, I just wanted to make sure that you knew that you're doing great because the head is right there. It's slowly sliding. Like, I knew that he's going to, like, pop out right now, any second.
Do you want to describe how you saw him coming out?
How I saw him coming out? I don't remember. Like, I just remember the head. You were like...
Because I was standing facing the counter in the bathroom.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I see the head and it's coming out more and more and more. And it happened super quickly. And then I just catch him and then I see...
Didn't he look at you? I thought you said, didn't he have his eyes open?
Well, yeah. Like, it took kind of time to like see the eyes, but then I saw that it's a boy and it's crazy
because he was facing back at you. Yeah.
It was pretty crazy
and he came out pretty. I remember the shoulders coming out. I was like, oh my god, once I don't want to push the shoulders out.
Yeah, once you see the eyes, it felt like, holy crap, this is an alien. this thing was there for all this time and now we see it like on the outside. And then it's a boy. Oh my gosh, we actually were able to make a boy. Like, all those emotions, it's pretty wonderful.
It was really crazy. Okay, I have one more question. So in the labor, when I was laboring in the bedroom and I was kind of standing.
Third
baby. And then as it was kind of climaxing for the baby to arrive, did you sense that it was getting closer? Because I remember I went to pee and then I was on the toilet and I was like, I don't know. I had a different sense. And then it was quick. I was like, get the towel. And were you taken off guard? I thought you were maybe taken off guard.
I think slightly I was, because you felt like pretty comfortable. And like I, from the first and second birth, like you were on the bed. So when you were standing by the counter, I didn't think that you could give birth like that. Like you were too...
standing.
Yeah, you were standing and walking from like the, like it just felt like not yet, I don't think now, but then it was happening. And then you kind of spread your legs more and I think you said like, oh, I think something like it's coming. Like,
I said put the towel.
Yeah. And then like I realized, and then the head, it was pretty fast. All of that is fast.
Yeah,
but there was a moment when I thought like, no, she's standing, I don't think she can do it this way.
Yeah, and it was very intimate without anyone else involved.
Oh, it was the best, man. Like, I saw the whole thing. Then I did the cleanup, which wasn't a lot. And there was the bed for you to go and relax. There was no, like, extra human beings. I like it. Maybe some people don't like that.
Well, I was wondering if there is another one, would we choose the same way?
I think it would depend. I think if there's like a human being who wants to be a part of it and learn through the situation. I don't, like I always told you, I don't mind necessarily midwives and other people helping.
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on
and if,
where we're at and who we know. And our, like, for me, it has to be someone we really know and trust. I don't know about like students or things like that. You know, I feel like that would be.
And it's mostly all of those things are up to you, really.
Yeah.
Not up to me.
I feel like it'll, if there's another one, it'll all fall into place and become clear even as the birth approaches.
I'll just, as always, be there to, like, create a setting that everyone can remain calm.
Yeah.
Everyone does their job, and everyone stay calm.
Yeah, I think it takes a person like that. Yeah. I also wanted to say that I appreciate in my second pregnancy that we went for an ultrasound, and the guy said that it was going to be 45 minutes with him alone in a room, and I kind of like froze, and you said, that's it, we're out of here, like we're not doing this.
Yeah, because he didn't make any sense. It's gonna take an hour and I can't be there. I'm like, what? Yeah. How does this make sense?
And I was kind of asking questions and I was feeling uncomfortable, and you just walked us out of there. And
well, I think
I appreciate that.
I think you felt uncomfortable
saying,
and like saying no and leaving.
Yeah.
Because it was an appointment. It was like a whole thing that you had to schedule an appointment. You're there. And we just came in and you sat on the table, I think, or something. Like, we're like,
no, we didn't even go in. We were like just,
we're somewhere. I remember, like,
oh, going down the hallway, room, I like think. Somewhere yeah, there. We were walking down the hallway. Yeah.
And he's like, okay, it's going to take an hour. It's this. And like, and I'm like, what? No.
Yeah.
We're not doing it this way. And then we just left. And then we never did the ultrasound.
No. I actually had like a dating, like a super early one with that pregnancy that I also regretted. So that I was already primed to not be doing any ultrasounds. And then with our third, we didn't have any interference, like at all. No ultrasounds, no tests, nothing. Yeah, super chill. All right, I guess that's it.
Yep, we planned for 30 minutes, but we're at 41.
I knew I could get you past 30, yeah.
Oh, I don't know how you did that. Okay. Do your closing.
Do you have any words of wisdom? This is your closing.
Ask her if she needs to pee. Ask her if she wants a date. And just remain calm, man. That's it.
That's great. Okay, signing off. Au revoir.
A tout à l'heure.
Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. step by step through the unknown. I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.